no, you don't need to. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's just a matter of, in fact, I think he made some statement to the effect that, maybe in a footnote or something, that some don't even preserve any pronunciation variation, so you almost have to be a little artificial to do it. We don't deal with transliterations that much anymore anyway, so... Yeah, he makes a note here, the lengthening of iota and upsilon to iota bar and upsilon bar is not represented in ordinary texts, though it is sometimes in grammatical works. So just be aware that sometimes you might see that in a grammatical work someplace, but it wouldn't be in the text of the New Testament, so that's what we're interested in. Okay, let's take a look at lesson exercise 13, which is a big one. We started working on it yesterday, and we're dealing with 13A. I believe I got almost through that. Maybe we didn't get the last one, did we? Seems like I remember doing pau-usin, number 5. So, do we have any questions on 1 through 5 here in part A before we go on?
The last one you covered was the imperfect
of pau-usin. Oh, okay, maybe we didn't get all the way through it. All right, I'll do that, number 5 again. So we have pau-usin for the present form, epaon for the imperfect, epaon, omicron nu for the ending, and augment on the front. And then for the future would be pau-susin, or pau-susi, pau-susin. Now, there, all you've done is add a sigma. And in the aorist would be epausan, epausan, all for new ending. John?
Do you mind giving the accents?
Okay, well, I've been stressing the syllable. The accent, okay, let me go through it again on this one. Epau on the imperfect, there should be, the accent should be on the augment. Paususin should be on the au. And epausan should be on the augment again. As long as we got short suffixes, it's going to go on the antipenal. Right. Okay. Good. Number 6. Hoduo. The imperfect, we're going to need to add an augment to an omicron. That's going to make it omega. So it would be hoduon, hoduon with omega. And the accent's on the first syllable again here because the suffix is short. But it's not a circumflex, it's just an acute. Hoduon. Then for the future, hoduso, hoduso, accent on the penult there because of the omega ending. And the aorist, hodusa, hodusa, accent on the first syllable again, and alpha ending. Yes, Glenn?
I know if the alpha is large or short.
Yeah, just assume it's short. Yes, let's go back here and just see if they've got anything. I don't know if you mentioned anything on this or not.
I used other words when they used the name and indicated that...
Yeah, you looked at some other... Yeah, you looked at... That's the basic thing. I was just trying to see if he made a statement to that effect in the... you can tell, you know, just he gives the example, elusa. He gave an example of elusa as being an accent on the antipenal, which means the alpha has to be short. I guess he doesn't come out and state it, though. Just assume it's short, then. It's given in the example, but he didn't come out and make a specific statement on it. That's a good question, though, because otherwise you wouldn't really know. Okay, then... any questions? Any more questions on that first part? That's one thing you should make sure that you do when you go through these again. Make sure you correct them as you go so you don't use this for review and have wrong answers in it. Yes?
Is there a
I could do that real fast. I'll just read them real quickly, and then you can double check. Number one, doxaze, and the imperfect should be edoxaze, edoxaze. The future, doxase, doxase with sigma. The aorist, edoxase, with sigma, epsilon. There's an optional nu there. Number two, lampomen. The imperfect should be elampomen, elampomen, omicron mu epsilon nu. Future should be lampsomen with psi, lampsomen. And the aorist, elampsamen, elampsamen, alpha mu epsilon nu. The number three, alephes should be alephes, alephes for the imperfect, epsilon sigma ending. Future, alepses, alepses, psi and epsilon iota sigma ending. And the aorist, alepsas, alepsas, accent on the first syllable, and psi alpha sigma for the end. Then number four, phulasete should be ephulasete, ephulasete, just adding an augment for the imperfect, ending is the same. Future, phulaxete, phulaxete, the double sigma goes to xi, same ending. And the aorist, ephulaxate, ephulaxate, augment, and the xi, and alpha tau epsilon ending. Pausin, well, we just read that one, epau and so forth, so that'll kind of get you up to date. Okay, exercise 13B, fill in the table below. All of the aorist forms required in this exercise are second aorist. So the first exercise gave you first aorist, now we're going to see second aorist. And remember how second aorists are formed. Same endings as the imperfect, but a stem change somewhere in the middle. Stem change that you just have to know from the vocabulary, pretty much. And augment. So, number one, lepe is the present. The imperfect, and that's third person singular. The imperfect is elepe, elepe, or elepen, optional nu. And the stress on the augment. The future, lepse. C epsilon iota, taking that P and turning it to C because of the addition of the sigma. And the aorist, second aorist now, is elepe, elepe, or elepen, optional nu. Now the stem has changed from lambda epsilon iota P to just lambda iota P. That's the stem for the change. So the difference, if you examine the difference between the imperfect form and the aorist form, the difference is only in the stem. Endings are the same, augments the same, just the stem is different. Okay, number two, agusin, third person plural from ago, to meaning to lead. We have agon for the imperfect, eta, gamma, omicron, nu. That's perfectly regular. Even though it looks a little strange. From ago, you see, the stem is ag, and the augment is going to change the alpha to eta. So you get ag, and then you have the omicron nu for the third person plural ending. Let's see. Yes, I think, that's what it would be. I just didn't pay much attention to it here, but you've got a short suffix, and so the p-naught's going to have circumflex if it's long, and okay, good. Then the future form should be oxusin, oxusin, alpha xi, omicron epsilon sigma iota nu. The nu is optional. And the aorist is going to be agagon, agagon. Eta again because of the augment, but we've got a stem change. We've kind of added an aug to the stem. So the difference between the perfect, the imperfect and the aorist is agon versus agagon. You get an og in there, and that's about the only difference. This ending is going to be the same, of course, because it's using imperfect type endings. Okay, any questions on that? All right, number three, heuriskes. The imperfect is going to be heuriskes, heuriskes. And you've got an eta epsilon instead of epsilon epsilon there for the stem, for the augment. Now this one is one of those that sometimes went, was this one they gave? Mm-hmm. Well, let me check here. Maybe he didn't mention it in the book here. I think this is one that it can actually go both ways. Yes, this one is sometimes left unchanged. That's on page 76 there. So if you didn't change it at all, that'd be all right, too. So it could be just epsilon upsilon or eta upsilon. You'll probably see it both ways in the text. Okay, but if you don't know, just assume there's a change. Yes?
I was going to ask the same question here, is whether that's a circumflex, because it's a long...
Well, it wouldn't be a circumflex here because it's in the antipenal. Yeah, it's in the antipenal. It's only in two-syllable verb forms that that'll occur, because otherwise it'll go to the... There will be a form, though, on the aorist here that will have a circumflex on this line. You'll see what I mean in a minute. Okay. Okay, so heuriscus or heuriscus, one of the two for that. The future would be heuraces, and this one is I think this was an irregular future. Let's see, did they give you this verb? Yeah, it's an irregular future form also. So it was one of those five that they gave you on page 78. So these things that end with the stem ending in sigma kappa or something like that, stem ending in kappa, they tend to be irregular. And it's just a kind of a general observation. So heuraces, eta sigma epsilon iota nu. And then the aorist would be heures, epsilon sigma. And your accent is going to be a circumflex again over the epsilon upsilon because it's a long penult. And the accent has to be a circumflex if that syllable is long. Since we don't have an antipenult here, the accent has to be in the penult, and that same rule would apply. Okay. Any questions on that one? That's probably the most difficult one of these. So I probably want to take the most, because you have an irregular future here also. And quite a stem change, too. I mean, your stem has changed from, well, the iota sigma kappa, that whole syllable has dropped off the stem for the aorist. Okay. Then, and another thing, too, is that the augment hasn't changed. You know, there hasn't been a change because the augment is just epsilon upsilon still. Okay, then, number four, eche. This one's got an irregular imperfect. So that was told you, I guess, in a footnote or something. Well, yeah, it was given to you in the textbook. So the imperfect should be eche, epsilon iota, chi, epsilon, with optional nu. Eche or echen. And there again, you have a circumflex over the epsilon iota there, because for the same reason, short suffix. And the future should be XA, epsilon C, epsilon iota, accent on the epsilon there, and that accent's going to be an acute. Yes? Yes, rough breathing. I'm sorry, I just wasn't reading carefully. It's hexa, yeah, hexa, thank you. Yeah, it's a rough breathing. Okay. And the aorist, eske, or esken, epsilon sigma, chi, epsilon. And you've got the form there, well, on page 78. So the future is a bit irregular because you get a rough breathing. The imperfect is irregular. And the aorist is a second aorist. So this one's about as bad as they get. Okay, notice, too, that on your... even though you've got a short suffix on eske, it's still an acute on the epsilon in the first syllable. Why? Yeah, because that syllable itself is short. Can't have a circumflex on a long syllable. I mean, not a short syllable. Okay, then number five, sin, hamartanate, second person plural form. The imperfect, hamartanate. Just change the thing to augment because the ending is going to be the same. Hamartanate. The future, hamartesete. There's an irregular future again where you get the eta sigma. And you can see that from the paradigm there, or from the chart they give you on page 78. And the aorist, hemartete, from hemartone, you get hemartete. And different stem, yes.
This one I couldn't figure out because you just don't add the sigma on that one or something?
Right, there's no sigma on it. The second aorist generally aren't going to have sigma added. They get a stem change instead. That's what happens. So that's generally what you're going to see in secondarist forms. That's basically, usually, the reason why you have a secondarist form is that for some reason or another, they don't like to add a sigma onto some things. So instead, they change the stem. In this case, things that end, in this case, hamartano, the stem ends in nu, hamartan, and they don't like to add a sigma to a nu for some reason. You just don't see that combination. And so instead of doing that, they change the stem somehow. And that's where you get these irregularities in the second aorist. That's the main problem, is they don't like to add the sigma. That's not always the case, because something like lapo, there wouldn't be any problem with changing that to lapso. But it seems quite typical that when you have a stem ending in nu, those tend to almost always be first second aorists. Okay, questions on any of these? It's admittedly is not the easiest part of Greek, the first and second aorists especially. But you're getting hit with a lot of variations and possibilities here all at once. Okay, let's look at this next chart then, exercise 13C. It's a nice big one for you. Put an X in each of the appropriate spaces. This is an exercise in parsing the forms, they call it. Parsing means to break it down to person number and tense and so forth, giving all the details about a particular verb form. And there is a lot of information about a given verb form in Greek. And we haven't even dealt with mood, voice, other categories too that can be added onto this. So far we're all dealing with active voice and indicative mood. But there's a subjunctive mood and optative moods. There's a passive and middle voice also. Okay. So these are all indicative active forms. And then we're asked for the person number and tense. So each of these forms, you're to give three pieces of information. You're to put an X in either first, second, or third person, an X in either singular or plural, and an X in either present, imperfect, future, or aorist, the four tense forms that we've got. Okay, so the example here is kerusseis, and they give you second person, singular, present. Now what you need to do is fill out the other 30 sets of this, okay? And we'll go through this. Maybe ask you for some responses here. But number one, ekousamen is what person?
First
person. Okay, the amen or omen, any of those endings you know are first person plural. So, of course, the number is plural. So first person plural and what tense? This is aorist. Right, this is aorist. What tips you off in this form, the first thing? That alpha suffix there, that's the first thing I would look at. The fact that there's an eta, there's an augment on it, and that alpha suffix, amen, is a real good tip-off. Okay, number two, heitoimazen is what form? What person?
Third
person, number, singular, tense, imperfect, okay. Number three, ekerusen is what person? Third, number, singular, tense, imperfect, just like the one above it. Okay. Number four, if you have any questions on whys and so forth as we go, be sure and, yes?
On this one, you have a double sigma. Double sigma.
Mm-hmm.
What would prevent you from, if you didn't know exactly what the verb was,
mm-hmm.
Would it be possible to see that as an aorist?
Not really, because an aorist will just never end in double sigma. The double sigma would have gone to XC if it was an aorist. So, but otherwise, see, the ending there would be the same in the aorist, the regular first aorist and the imperfect. That third person singular ending is epsilon or epsilon nu for both ending systems. So that the only reason you know it's not aorist is you have to really know the dictionary form in some of these cases to really know for sure. So if you know the dictionary form is keruso, double sigma, then you'll know that this has to be imperfect and not aorist, because the rule would be that if it were aorist, the double sigma would have changed to XC. Yes?
Well, as far as the final form being, couldn't you have a double sigma? In other words, in the book it says if you have a double sigma
mm-hmm.
and then a sigma,
mm-hmm.
it's changed.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. Well, that...
Couldn't this have been a single sigma and then a double sigma? That wouldn't have come.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't... it just doesn't happen that way. I can tell you that the Greek Greek word verb that ends in a stem sigma won't get a double sigma for the aorist. It just doesn't happen. But... the only way you really know that is to know the dictionary form of the verb. You know, that's the only way to know it, because you know, in some of these cases, unless you know the dictionary form of the verb, you're really stuck, because you can look at that ending and see it could be a second aorist or something in this case, and you wouldn't know if there was just a stem change or something like that. So you get familiar with these double sigma ones after a while, so you'd know that. But you need to know the dictionary form to be able to tell between the imperfect and the aorist forms very often. Yes, Glenn?
What happens when a verb with a sigma ending on
the... They're almost always going to be second aorist. They're going to go irregular stem change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. There isn't any other rule that would cover it. In other words, I don't know of any example where a verb ended in sigma and then the aorist has a double sigma. It just doesn't go. And in the first place, I don't think there are very many verbs at all that end in a sigma for the base. There may not be any, but I can't think of any right offhand. There might be some if there are, but I would expect them to go irregular and have a stem change or something. Maybe keep the sigma, but have a stem change in the vowel or something like that before the endings and be second aorist. Okay. Number four, agorazomen. We've got, what person is this? First person, plural, present. Yes, first person, plural, present. No agomen on it or anything. So, first person, plural, present. Okay. Number five, ekeruxamen is what? First person, plural, aorist. Okay, that alpha, mu, epsilon, nu tip you off to the aorist right away. And the fact that the double sigma is going to C. Okay, axete is what? Second person, right?
Plural.
Future. Future, right, from ago. Number seven, dioxete is what person?
Second.
Plural. Future. Right? See, this exercise is helping you see that even though you may not be able to produce a form at a given point in time, it's easier to recognize forms than it is to produce them. You can kind of pick, oh, that's a second person plural ending, you know that, and so forth, you can tell. So there's things that you can tell right off the bat. And then later on when you're translating, you'll find this is very beneficial, because most of the time we're going from Greek to English. And so we can pick out this thing and tell exactly what it is just by remembering some of these features. Yes, Steve?
Would there ever be a present tense with
N
and Z like that?
An XC? Again, I doubt it on that. I can't think of any verb that does, that the stem ends in XC.
Whenever you see that,
mm-hmm.
Future error.
Right. I think you're. It's a pretty safe bet. You never like to gamble in this kind of business, though. But I sure can't think of any verb that ends with a stem ending in XC. If it did, of course, then again, you can't really add a sigma to XC. So there's certain typical consonants that verbs stems end in, and you don't see other ones. So, okay, number eight. Did we give all the information on number seven? Okay, second person plural future. Okay, number eight. Echomen should be what? First person plural present. Okay, good. From echo, just a real simple, straightforward verb form. Number nine, hetoimasan, what person? Third person, plural, aorist, alpha, nu, yes. Okay, egorasate is what? Second person, plural, aorist, again, that alpha ending. And would that be a first or second aorist? Okay, first aorist. How do you? What's a quick way to tell that? Yeah, the alpha ending. It's got to be first aorist. It may be irregular or irregular first aorist, but it's still first aorist. It's that ending system that's going to determine it. Now, if this was a third person singular verb form, then you wouldn't be able to tell. Really, just you know, by looking at the ending alone, you'd have to know what the dictionary form was. If it was an epsilon ending, you see, because the epsilon ending is the same for both the aorist, the first and second aorist. But in all the other endings, you'll be able to tell because of that alpha. Okay. Eskete is what? What person?
Second.
Plural. Okay, and this is... Okay, this is an aorist form. Yeah. Yeah, it's an aorist. I mean, but again, you're kind of having to guess. This is from echo. It's the stem change, you see, eschon. And you've got it there on page 78. But... you know, really, again, the only way you can really tell here is that it's, you have to know the dictionary form and know the principal parts of this verb in order to really tell. Because otherwise you might look at that and say, well, that looks like a verb, you know, suppose there was a verb esko, this could be just a present form of a verb esko. And if you didn't know what the verb was, you see, you could make all kinds of guesses as to what it is. You could consider it a verb skull and call it imperfect of the verb skull too, you know. But it just happens not to be any of those things. So then the only way to know is to know the principal parts. Okay. So it's not all as simple, you know. It's just if you're familiar enough with the vocabulary to know the basic verb form, then you can often predict this even without knowing all the principal parts. You can identify it anyway. Number 12, diokusin is what person? Third person, plural, tense present, right? Present. Okay, there's been no augment. There's no augment on it, so you know it's not a past tense. You know it's not a future because there's no sigma there. Okay, see the kappa would have changed to xi with the sigma on it. Okay, agorase, person, third, singular, and future, right. Third person, singular, future. Yeah, somewhat, I suppose. It's from agorao. We really haven't had any contract verbs yet, but that's what it is. And you have to maybe do a little bit of guesswork on it, I suppose, but that sigma is usually enough to tip you off. Okay. Well, no, it wouldn't be. That's why they didn't give you a present form. When you get, this is what's called a contract verb. When the stem ends in a vowel, there's certain verbs that end in a-o, e-o, and o-o. O-o. When they put the suffixes, when you put vowel to vowel, they get certain contractions. We'll have another little chart to remember on how vowel contractions work. This would actually be you'll probably get a circumflex and it'd be agore, and they'd have a circumflex over that ending to indicate that it was a contract. That's why I mentioned to you sometimes the accent makes a difference, and so this is one of those areas. But it just kind of threw in the future. There's no problem because those just, you know, that alpha, you can add a sigma to it, or you know, you can add sigmas very nicely to vowels. So the futures are very regular for these verbs, but the presents are not very regular. So that's why he only gave you a future form of this now. It's kind of tricky in a way, but we'll get into it later. Because you're asking yourself the question, well, what would that be in the present? And you don't have any rules to cover that yet. Okay. I'm not sure what chapter that is. Contract verbs is a little bit further down the road. I can't remember if it's before or after third declension. I think it's after third declension. Yeah, contract verbs, chapter 23. So we'll be getting to those. They're not that difficult. It's just that this vowel business causes a bit of a funny. Actually, the form would have been agora here with an alpha with the order subscript in this one. Okay, in the present, third person. Okay, what number was that? I lost my place here. Number 13. Okay, number 14. Akususin. Okay, what number is that? Third person, plural. Future. Okay. Third person plural future. Okay. Because that's sigma stem and no augment, you know it's future. Okay, question.
So you really can't go by the first letter and assume that just because it's an alpha that or that in other words that there's some words that
an epsilon if you see an epsilon at the beginning of a word, that might be just the normal vowel on that stem, or it might be an augment added to something else. So you can't always tell for sure. That's right. Unless you know the dictionary form. Again, that's, you recognize the verb and recognize the dictionary form. It's sometimes you can be tricked by it. But the alpha won't be a problem because an initial alpha isn't an augment. And if it had the augment, it'd be eta. So if you see an alpha in the beginning of it, you know that that's an unaugmented form. Okay, echeta. That's another one that could be just about anything. But remember that this is from echo, and it's the imperfect, the irregular imperfect. So this is a second person plural imperfect. Second person plural imperfect from echo. It's an irregular imperfect.
Well, you would know that it can't.
Yeah. What was that?
If you try to add an augment, it doesn't change.
Yeah, if you added an augment to an epsilon iota, it wouldn't change. So, yeah, you have some problem there. Now you can maybe guess. See, this is either going to be an imperfect or a second aorist. But again, you wouldn't know for sure there. And really, to look at that thing, if you didn't know anything about this verb, you could guess it'd be a present too, from a verb echo. You could guess that too and be wrong. Okay. All right. Now, number 16, doxase. Doxase. What number is that? It's second person plural imperfect for number 15. Second person plural imperfect. Okay, number 16 then. Doxase is what person? Third person, singular, tense, future. Future. Okay? No augment, so you know it's got to be either future or present. And with the sigma there, it's a good guess that it's future. Okay, and there's another thing, too, here. Right, that sigma, because it's doxazo in the present. Remember, the zeta changes to sigma in the future. That could be the case with agorazo. That wasn't the verb we were looking at. What was the one? Okay, agorase. Okay, that's what the case with agorase is, too. It's not a contract, after all. It's, again, you can't always tell. But agorase is from agorazo, and the zeta just changed to sigma, so there wasn't even a contract there. So he's been nicer to you than I thought. Okay. But a contract verb would do the same thing in the future. All right, number 17. So I gave you all, number 16 is third person singular future. Number 17, baptize. What is that going to be?
Third person singular.
Third person singular, tense? Present. Just a regular old present. If it were future, it would be baptize. Be a sigma there. If it were future. Right. Okay, edioches is what? Person? Second person, singular, imperfect. Okay, good. If it were aorist, you would be having an alpha sigma here, and you'd have a C instead of the kappa. Okay, number 19, akuen, person, third, singular, tense, imperfect. Okay, from akuo, just got the augment there and no sigma. So it's imperfect. Number 20, elipomen. Person? Okay. Yeah, it's first. First person plural. Omen ending. See, that can be tricky in some ways, too, because if you don't know what the stem is, you know, you might be thinking of this as lipom, and then with the suffix n. Okay? But I don't know what to tell you there. You won't find verbs that have an om ending like that on stem. So omen is always your first person plural. Okay, in the tense? Aorist. How do you know it? It's aorist.
Oh, irregular.
Yeah, it's irregular. It's a second aorist. It's been a stem change. It's from lapo. And the stem has gone from lape to lip. Elipomen. Okay, so it's a second aorist. Good. Okay, agagen is person, third person, singular, tense, aorist again. From ago, the imperfect is agon, and this would be agen in this form. But the aorist, again, the stem change, second aorist, we get agagen. Number 22, graphe. Person, number?
Third
singular, tense?
Present.
Okay. Those just nice old regular present verb forms kind of look strange after a while after seeing all the rest of these. All right. Epempsamen. Epempsamen. Person? First. Plural. Tense? Aorist. Okay. You can tell that just by the alpha, mu, epsilon, nu. You don't even need to look at the rest of it. You can tell it's first aorist. Okay. Heures. The person?
Second.
Number singular. Tense? Aorist. Again, from hero and from heurisco. Okay. Irregular again. Second aorist. Number 25. Egrapsa. Number? Make sure person. Person, first person in the number singular and the tense aorist. Okay. Epempomen, person, first, plural, imperfect. Imperfect. Augment, but no sigma or stem change. Okay. Grapse, person, third person, singular, future. Right. Future. Got that sigma added. Pistuete, person, second, plural, tense, present. Okay, no augment, no sigma, so it's present. Baptises, person, second, singular, future. Right. And elepomen, person, first, plural, tense, imperfect. Again, because there's no stem change, this is a lepo, would it change to elepomen if it was in the aorist? Okay, well, kind of been through the ringer there. But you can use that if you've got the right answers now, assuming that you've marked them, corrected them if you've had them wrong. You can use that as an exercise for a review or something to test yourself on this and kind of cover these things up and, you know, go down and check yourself, see how you're doing on identifying these forms. Lots of variables to crank into it now. We're going to be adding a few more variables later on, but most of the other variables we'll be adding won't generate as much confusion because you've got a whole different sets of endings, different sets of forms, so you won't get so much confused with these. It's about as bad as it gets on these forms. Okay? Take it by faith. See, we'll be adding passives and middles and subjunctives and optatives and a few things like that, but not too bad.
And perfects and
pluperfects. Well, yeah, perfects and pluperfects. Those aren't too hard to identify. But except when they're irregular, get an irregular perfect, and it sometimes looks like an aorist and so forth. Okay. Exercise 13D. Supply the proper verb forms in the blank spaces in the Greek sentence below, so each will be a translation of the English sentence which precedes it. Imitate the models provided before each group of sentences. Okay. Each group's got a model sentence, and then you're taking variations on that. So the first set has the model sentence: the apostle is teaching the gospel. Ho apostolos to evangelion kerousse. Preaching. Okay, so he's just giving the present tense form. Now, number one, the apostle will preach the gospel. So we're asked to put this in the future. Ho apostolos to evangelion, what? How would we make that future form? Keruxe. Keruxe. Kappa, eta, rho, upsilon, xi, epsilon, iota. Good. So we want a third person, and this is third person singular future active indicative. Okay. Number two, the apostles were preaching the gospel. So we want to say, we're preaching. Now, the first thing you want to ask yourself when you're going from English to Greek is that in the verb form, if it's a past tense verb form, you have to consider two things. First, the tense idea being past, and then the aspect. Now, when we see something like we're preaching, that's a progressive aspect. So we're going to want to put that in the form that's going to give progressive aspect. And what form would that be? The imperfect. Right, so we want an imperfect here rather than an aorist. Okay, so hoi apostoloi to evangelion, what would that be then? Ekeruson, yes, ekeruson. Omicron new ending, double sigma there because there's been no change in the stem there, and augment on it. Yes, goes to the eta there because you've got a short suffix on the on is short, so you can accent the antipenult. Ekeruson. Okay, yes. Okay, it's epsilon, kappa, eta, rho, upsilon, double sigma, omicron, nu. And that nu is not optional on this one. It's a definite part of the ending. Okay, ekeruson. We're preaching. So we want third person plural, imperfect active indicative. Okay, number three, you plural have preached the gospel. Okay, now in this case, have preached, it's a little bit indefinite, but there's this would be appropriate to use aorist because we don't know about perfect forms yet. And so that helps us. If you knew about perfect forms, you might have a question as to whether you use a perfect or an aorist here. But and it sometimes gets a little sticky, you know. Fortunately, we have to go from Greek to English, not to English to Greek, because sometimes you have to make some kind of sticky decisions. Do I want to put this in aorist or perfect or what? You wouldn't want to use an imperfect here, really, because there's no progressive aspect that's being emphasized by the text. It's just we have preached the gospel. You, plural, have preached the gospel. So you'll want an aorist form here. So to euangelion, what form will you want for you have preached? Yes, ek ke ruksate. Okay, and the spelling would be epsilon, kappa, eta, rho, upsilon, xi, because the double sigma goes to xi for the aorist, alpha, tau, epsilon. So it's a first aorist. So second person plural, aorist, indicative active. Number four, they used to preach the gospel. Okay, now used to preach has got the idea of a progressive thing in the past, a periodic type of active. Either it's, you know, a progressive like we're preaching or a periodic repeated action in the past. A customary action in the past will also be indicated by the imperfect. So we'll want an imperfect form here again. To euangelion, what form there? Yes, keruson, just exactly the same form you had in number two. Third person plural, imperfect active indicative. So it's epsilon, kappa, eta, rho, upsilon, sigma, omicron, nu. Okay, number five, we shall preach the gospel. Okay, and that's obviously a future form. So to euangelion, what? Keruxomen, yes, keruxomen. No augment, future form. The double sigma changes to xi in the future, and then the omen ending for the first person plural. Keruxomen, that's kappa, eta, rho, upsilon, xi, omicron, mu, epsilon, nu. Okay, number six then, it's another new model now. The disciples preparing the way, homathetes, tein hodon, hetoimaze. So hetoimazo is the verb that we're dealing with, and we're going to need to be changing the forms of that. Number six, the disciple was preparing the way. So again, what tense form are we going to want here? Imperfect, you get that progressive action in the past, right. So homathetes, tein hodon, what form do you want there? Okay, hetoi mazen or hetoi maze, with optional nu here. Hetoi maze, the accent. So it's eta, rough breathing, tau, omicron iota, mu, alpha, zeta, epsilon, with optional nu. Hetoi maze or hetoi mazen. That's third person singular, imperfect, active indicative. Number seven, we have prepared the way. Okay, then again, in the absence of having a perfect form, we would use an aorist here. Tein hodon, what? Okay, hetoi masamen. With the alpha, mu, epsilon, nu ending, because it's first person plural in the aorist. And we're going to change the zeta to sigma, so that'll be, and then add the augment. But the augment's really not going to change this form. Well, not any different than the imperfect. It started with an epsilon, so the epsilon go to eta. So it'll be eta, tau, omicron, iota, mu, alpha, sigma, alpha, mu, epsilon, nu. So it's a first aorist, and that's first person plural aorist, indicative active. Okay? Questions, anybody? Number eight. The disciples will prepare the way. So we want future form here. Hoi mathe tai, tein hodon. What? Yes, hetoi masusin. You can see that some of these words tend to get rather long syllable-wise. We haven't even gotten to verbs that have prepositional ideas stuck on. They'll prefix prepositions right onto verbs and so forth. So it's, and sometimes two or three of them, you can get a really long. Then you get this third-person plural suffix, the usin suffix on it. In addition, you can get really a big long word. And then we'll get some other suffixes that suffix like in the passage like amatha and so forth, three-syllable suffix. And you can really get some long words. There's that one that in Ephesians, anakephalios asthai. That's one verb form. So it's all one word. So your tongue can really be in for a challenge just to read the word. The brain's usually okay. It's just the tongue, of trying to get the tongue to follow the brain, you know? Okay. So the spelling for this one should be epsilon with rough breathing, tau, omicron, iota, mu, alpha, sigma, omicron, upsilon, sigma, iota, nu. Okay, number nine, you singular are preparing the way. Tain hodon, blank. What do we need there? Yes, hetoimazes, just a present form. We want second person singular, that's her epsilon iota sigma suffix. The stem isn't going to change, so it's just hetoimazes. That's epsilon with rough breathing, tau, omicron iota, mu, alpha, zeta, epsilon iota sigma. Okay, number 10, the disciples are preparing the way. Okay, now again, this is present, and it's asking for a present progressive. And are preparing, and that's really no different than prepare. In other words, the Greek doesn't have a distinction between the progressive and the indefinite aspect in the present, so you just need a present form. So, hoi mathe tai tein hodon, what would that be? Yes, hetoimazusin. So it's epsilon with rough breathing, tau, omicron, iota, mu, alpha, with a stress on the alpha there, it's zeta, omicron, upsilon, sigma, iota, nu. Again, the last syllable, iota nu, is short, and so you can have the antipenult stressed. Etoi mazusin. Okay, then the next model, the church is sending a disciple. Hey, ecclesia mathetein pempe. Okay, we're dealing with the verb pempo now. And number 11, the church has sent a disciple. Okay, well, we'll just use an aorist form for this, because has sent, we don't really know what the aspect is. It's indefinite. We don't know whether it's progressive or not, so it'll just be aorist. So what will be our aorist form here? The church has sent a disciple. Hey, ecclesia mathetein, what? Epempse. Yeah, epempse, really the stress. Epempse or epempsen, optional new on that form. And it's a short suffix, so the stress can go all the way to the augment. Epempse or epempsen. Okay, any questions? Number 12, the church will send disciples. Hey, ecclesia mathetas, what? Pempse, right. So we've got a third-person singular form and future, so we're going to add the sigma, which will change that P to a C. So that's P epsilon mu C epsilon iota. Number 13, they used to send disciples. Mathetas, what? Epempon, yes, epempon. We want an imperfect now because it's used to send. It's got that progressive aspect. So it's epsilon P, epsilon mu P, omicron nu. Third person plural, imperfect form. And the stress will be on the augment again here for the same reason. You've got a short suffix. You can go to the antipenult. In this case, it'd be the augment. Number 14, I was sending disciples. Mathetas, what? Epempon. Exactly the same verb form as the previous one. Because again, we want an imperfect form, but the first person singular and the third person plural suffix in the imperfect set of endings is the same. It's omicron nu. So again, the only way that you would be able to tell between these two forms, look at the sentences actually in 13 and 14. Mathetas epempon, both cases. One of them is translated, they used to send disciples, and the other one's, I was sending disciples. So how, if you just saw that Greek phrase, mathetas empempon, how would you know which one it is? Only context, only key you've got. Unless there happened to have been the subject stated, you know, like a pronoun for I, ego, or if they, you know, was a pronoun, hemas or something like that, hemon or something, that's the only way you'd be able to tell. But it's, just context alone, just, you know, the previous context would identify it. Okay, number 15, we shall be sending disciples. Mathetas, what? Pempsomen, just a future form, first person plural. And it's P epsilon mu C omicron mu epsilon nu. Questions on any of those forms? Okay. Yes, Eric? On number 12, yes, that's a C also. That's a future form, so it should be P epsilon mu C epsilon iota. Okay. Then number 16, the model form is homothetes nomon graphe. The prophet is writing a law. Number 16, then the prophets were writing a law. Homothetai nomon what? Egraphon. Yes, egraphon. Epsilon gamma rho alpha phi omicron nu. the new. That's a short suffix, so you can stress the antipenal. So it'd be egraphon. You can see what I mean by these verb forms. After a while, it's pretty easy to know where the accent is. You just try to get as far forward as you can, according to the rules. And after a while, you'll pick up a certain sound pattern that you're always wanting to stress the antipenal in a verb form if you've got an antipenal. Okay, number 17. The prophet used to write laws. O prophetes nomus, what? Okay, egraphen. Again, this is a imperfect form because of the periodic action in the past. And this, in this case, it's third person singular. So it's epsilon, gamma, rho, alpha, phi, epsilon. Okay, number 18. The prophet has written a law. O prophetes nomon egrapsen. This time we want an aorist because it has written. It's got that more of an indefinite aspect. So that's epsilon, gamma, rho, alpha, c, epsilon with optional nu. Number 19. We shall write laws. Nomus, what? Grapsomen. Right, grapsomen. Gamma, rho, alpha, c, omicron, mu, epsilon, nu. Number 20. You, singular, have written a law. Nomon, what? Egrapsas. Yes, we want aorist because it's have written. And we want second person singular, so we'll need the augment. We'll need to change to the phi to psi because of the sigma, and we'll need to add the alpha type ending. So you get egrapsas, epsilon, gamma, rho, alpha, psi, alpha, sigma. Yes?
Whenever he says, you know, have written and has written and things like that, mm-hmm. Really,
perfect in English, yeah. Uh-huh.
What's going to happen when we start learning that? How is it going to... You know,
it's going to be a little bit tough. No, yeah, I know. When we get to the perfect forms, we'll have to just use more discrimination. The problem is, see, in English, there's not always the direct parallel. An idea that English conceives of as perfect, the Greek may put in the aorist, in fact. When the Greek uses their perfect tense form, it doesn't use it very often. And when it does use it, there's a very strong emphasis on the action having been completed, and we are now living with the present result of a completed action. So it's a little bit stronger than in English. We'll use perfects a little bit more loosely in English. We have a lot. In other words, if you were to examine an English text and count the number of perfect forms that you saw in an English text and count the number of perfect forms in a Greek text of the same, you know, the translation of it or something, or the same material, you would not find as many perfect forms in the Greek as you would in English. But when you find them in the Greek, they're very much stronger perfect idea than in English. And so that's part of the problem. And the difficulty is that when you're going from English to Greek and trying to decide what Greek form to use, it's a lot more difficult because you have to have a certain idea in mind and try to translate that into Greek. When we go from Greek to English, if we see a Greek perfect form, we know exactly what to do with that. If we see a Greek aorist form, that's where our problems come. The aorist form is where all the problems come because it is indefinite. And the way I usually do it, if I see an aorist form, is just translate it a simple past and leave the ambiguities in English as well as in Greek. And but you have a bit of a problem here in this respect, and it's a kind of a matter of opinion. And who has kind of, because it set its exercises up that way. If I'd written these exercises, I probably would have chosen not to use a perfect form in the English yet, and wait till we get to that a little bit later on, just to keep things straight in your mind. But there will be times. The fact is, there will be times when the Greek has an aorist verb form, and the English translators have rendered it by a perfect. So that's kind of what he's operating on, the fact that translators do it that way. And English idiom seems to justify it to some extent, because the range of the meanings isn't as precise in English as it was in Greek. Okay, well, we'll finish up this exercise tomorrow, and then forge on into chapter 14 and take a little bit of a break from the verb forms for a while and talk about another set of adjectives, demonstratives, and so forth. They're lots of fun. It's not a whole lot of new material coming up. It's just kind of a few slight refinements of what we've seen before.
Called
demonstratives? No. Demonstratives.